Okay, I want to talk a little bit tonight about overshadowing. I'm going to define it, and I'm going to tell you why I titled the satsang as I did, Overshadowing, Do You Mind? But I'm going to begin by sharing with you why I'm talking about it. Okay, and I'm talking about it because I've noticed that amongst the students that there's this reflux, as it were. And I did use the word reflux. Okay? And there's also this reflex that when there's fear of the lifting that's taking place, you immediately shoot out of that focus. You take yourself away from that focus, okay? So I've noticed that, for example, and I could bet, you know, as they say in French, all the tea in China, on this student just asking very elementary questions that the consciousness knows very well what the answer is. And it's a lovely way of just aborting the whole lifting process. Or in many times in class, yeah, we sit in class and we learn what it is we learn, and we do it by experiencing, and we do it also by some kind of focusing and putting it into an intellectual framework, etc., as well as working with the frequencies present. And we learn that way, but we're also engaged because it's the presence of the teacher, the lifting action that takes place. And there's the force field that's known as the Lord God. And it's extended into this world, and it's very present in this world. And so when we have a class, the souls are engaged in a lifting process. And invariably, as soon as that process begins, bingo, this student will ask a series of questions. Okay? And see, the interesting thing is that you're all so smart, is that your questions seem very reasonable, very intelligent, and very appropriate. Okay? And most likely, you don't even know what you're doing. Okay? But I can see, it's exactly like if you were hitching a ride, as it were, or hitching a trailer onto a car. The moment that car takes off and starts gathering momentum, bingo, you unhitch. Okay, and this all has to do with the process, and it's talked about when the life of the Christ Jesus is talked about. Talk about the overshadowing, okay? And let me put it in a framework. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, okay? We come into life, okay? And we all call it life, okay? But have you ever asked yourself the question, why is this called life? If we have to then enter into eternal life, doesn't make any sense. Something doesn't compute. Okay, and spiritually, this planet is known as death. Okay, so you come into death, as it were, so that by following the teachings of the process of the soul and knowing itself, as spirit, as the Lord God, and coming into the unity of the spirit and of the Lord God, in that process of knowing yourself, well, bingo. Okay? Then you're free. Okay, and it's a process and it's applied. Okay, and the overshadowing, okay, has to do with overcoming the shadow. Okay. And what cast a great shadow? If we take a look at that, the simple fact that the soul lives on many levels, or we talk about the frequencies, and actually, I don't know if it's still around, but when I was in L.A., or actually many times when I was in L.A., I would eat in a restaurant, and the food was grouped by frequency. You know, the more dense to the least dense. And you could order according to the density of the food, okay? With, of course, meat being the most dense and plant life, etc., having a higher frequency, a vibratory frequency, okay? And the levels in the soul, they're about density. In other words, how much does matter sit in there? Okay, so we know that obviously the physical, it's matter. Okay, and as we go up through the levels, it's less and less until we enter into what's called the soul realm, where the proportion of spirit to density is in the majority for the first time. Okay, and but what cast a giant shadow on the light of the Most High, as it were? Well, the very thing that's the interface of between spirit and the physical, or spirit and the body, okay? And that is the mind, okay? And the mind casts this enormous shadow, okay? That's why it's wonderful at creating doubt and worry, etc. Okay? And of course, when things are in shadow, you obviously don't see them clearly. And we know that when you're in levels of karma, you know God by reflection. You can't know God directly. Okay? And we also know that we live our life until we're awakened and have overcome this thing called the world. We live it in a great hallucination, that we believe the objects in the mirror are real, and we don't remember that we've created whatever we've placed in that mirror. So all our thoughts and all our feelings that we take as objective reality, we think are real. So for example, let's just say I have a karma that comes from being an ancient Israelite. Well, then I'm going to think of God as kind of a meanie who's going to strike me dead for no reason, you know? And yeah, you betcha I'm going to be in that synagogue praying. And of course, I'm not going to know if I'm going to live or die. Okay? But that's the karma, okay? And I take that as reality. Okay, but what I don't know, or what I've forgotten, is that that's my thought form. See, that's my thought. It gets projected into the mirror, and I take it as real, and then I think, oh, it really is so. So it's real, and I don't even trace it back to myself. Okay, so that's a great hallucination. In other words, we're all partaking in the craziness caused by karma. Okay? But who created the karma? We did. Okay? So it's really interesting. If you look at it from that perspective, if that's craziness, well then sanity comes forth. Then what is sanity? Well, that which does not separate you, that those creations which you create, which are one with the Lord God, or as a part of the unity of spirit. Okay, and I've been working on, there've been questions, and I like really anybody who has a really good question about either the Bible or religious practices or things in general, or try to understand the real meaning, you can send it to the LA ladies, Amy and Rebecca, because there's this lovely project going on of spiritual understanding for certain beliefs, certain practices, etc., etc. And I was asked, one of the questions was, would I analyze the Lord's Prayer? So, of course, you know, 15 pages later, I thought I had done a pretty good job. But what was the gist of this? Well, it's bringing in this frequency and this knowledge of the unity of God. It's not here in the Old Testament. It's not present. Okay, so God's removed from the creation. Okay, but now comes this frequency. And not only that, but in the Lord's Prayer, he has the unmitigated gall, as they say in French, the absolute chutzpah, to tell us, hallowed be thy name. In other words, we set aside thy name and we celebrate it. Well, we know what he's talking about. Setting aside the name, chanting the sacred names of the Lord God in the initiatory practice that the Christ Jesus taught. And there it is in the Lord's Prayer. Why do we do this? Well, thy kingdom come. It's all one. It's here now. Okay? And there it is, and I use the Peshitta, I use the Aramaic translation, not the Greek, which is full of errors, but the Aramaic translation, which is more nearly accurate. And, well, there were the teachings right there, where this, you know, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What's evil? Error in consciousness. That's the wrongdoing. You take a wrong turn. Okay? And in the overshadowing, okay, we're being made right. We're taking a right turn, as it were, not as right or left, but the turn right to spirit. And the mind, which all it wants to do is maintain its hegemony, it wants to rule. It protests. Okay? And because it's also connected with the ego, we perceive of the lifting beyond the ego as death. So the lower consciousness, the false consciousness, goes to protect itself. It goes to protect itself by flinching and by stopping and aborting the lifting action. And it's afraid of the overshadowing. Okay? And so much of, when you read it, in the Bible and other accounts of the life of the Christ, it was all about his overshadowing until he becomes completely the spirit that he is in terms of as Jesus. Okay? So that he, the person he is, becomes the spirit he is and vice versa. They're all one and the same. So he's demonstrating the gift of human life. That's what you do. Okay? That's what you do. That's the Christed consciousness. And it has nothing to do with whether you're Jewish or an atheist or Buddhist or, you know, or born in France, born in Italy, you know, not even born yet. Like basketball, don't like basketball, went to college, don't even know how to spell college. Doesn't matter, okay? It all has to do with that alignment of your will and God's will, one and the same. And the mind fights that tooth and nail because it wants to be in control, okay? And teachings bring forth what's called eternal vigilance. We always need to be vigilant, and we always need to focus into the spirit we are. Okay, because the way things are in the inner worlds, it's a house of mirrors. It's full of distortions and reflections upon reflections upon reflections, distortions upon distortions upon distortions. You're going to get lost in there. You get lost in there. Okay? It's a fun house as long as you think fun is spelled K-A-R-M-A. Or I could spell reincarnation, but that takes a longer time to spell. Okay? And so we have this, and it's a propensity to always go towards our reincarnational pattern. But that's the lower self. That's from Huna, the basic selves. That's what they do. That's what they do. Okay, and then we have the mind, etc., etc. Okay, and then we have the spirit. Okay, but God gave us a conscious self too. And this is where we come in, and this is where we need to play traffic cop and direct our energies. Okay, and many of you, when it comes to that point of pulling back from the lifting or not permitting the overshadow, you're not there. You're not present. You've left. You just let this process play out. But that's like letting your car that you're driving go through the stop sign. Well, it's got momentum. And whatever else the components of physics are that make it, go. Okay, well, I'm not going to interfere with the process, so we'll just go through the stop sign. Well, you're not going to do that. Most likely, you're going to step on the brake, okay? Your conscious self responds, puts it together, and fulfills that responsibility of stopping at the stop sign, okay? But many times, at the point of flinching, we've left. We've abandoned ship. Okay? But this is precisely the strength builder. This is precisely where we get the maximum benefit of developing our spiritual muscle and focusing into the Lord God, into spirit. It was interesting. I remember seeing a movie about the life of Christ, and he goes on a tirade against God for a couple of minutes, and I'm sitting there going, wow, I love this. This is fantastic. Go ahead. Go on. I didn't want it to end, man. Because I was agreeing with everything he was saying, man. And what was he saying? Well, in essence, it's, okay, God, what is this funny little game? You give me a piece of the puzzle at a time. Why can't you give me the whole puzzle at once? Why do you just dole out a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there? Okay. And the reason, though, is obvious. Can you imagine getting the whole enchilada all at once? Well, you couldn't tolerate it. We know that walking the path of soul transcendence is a natural path. It's natural. Okay, and you're only given what you can tolerate. So to be given the whole enchilada, when you're used to burning, let's say, at 40 watts, and you're going to turn on to 100, it's going to blow you to smithereens. You can't tolerate it. And you'll short circuit, okay, if it were to happen. Of course, it doesn't, because spirit is a natural process. That progression is natural. So we do it little by little by little by little. And it has to be little by little also because of what we tolerate. we only permit very little overshadowing going on, you know, at one particular time. Then a little bit more, then a little bit more, then a little bit more, okay? But we love to be in what we call control, which to me is one of the most hysterical things. We love to be in control, okay? And I'm always amused and amazed by that for the very simple reason that, well, why would you want to be in control? Don't you know that you're in control anyway? That you're living proof of that. You've reincarnated because of what you've done, because of your creations. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's the ultimate control. The soul is in your body now because of all its previous experiences and because of creations away from the Lord God, and because it hasn't yet permitted the completion of the overshadowing. How much more control do you need than that? Okay, but you see, karma is wonderful, you know, because we don't even have that in our consciousness, that we have that power. So we pretend we don't have that power, then we got to seize all this illusionary power. Okay? But on the path of soul transcendence that I teach, the power is in surrender. We surrender to the spirit we are. We surrender to the Lord God. We surrender to the soul. That's where the power is. I mean, what would you rather go against? God or everything else? Well, everything else. Who wants to go against God? And yet we do all the time. And yet when we go against anything and anybody, we're going against God. We're going against the Spirit. Same Spirit in me as in you. You know, and I remember I was very angry at someone because I felt that something needed to go a certain way. And so Spirit showed me that, yeah, my being angry at that person is really being angry at myself. Okay? And being angry at myself is really being angry at that person. And being angry at myself is really being angry at the Lord God. Well, that stopped that. Okay? So we have this control about where are we going to place our focus. You know? When the eye is single, the body is a light. Of course, it's the spiritual eye. That's our focus. Everything else is evil, as the Lord's Prayer says. Okay? Evil in the sense of wrongdoing. Evil in the sense of an error in consciousness. Okay? And so overshadow, do you mind? It's, yeah, the mind does mind that it's being overshadowed. Who's going to be in control? Who's going to have hegemony over this false kingdom that doesn't even know it's a false kingdom? Who's in charge? What's in charge? Okay. And so we have this battle going on. And it's all because of the blindness that we suffer from. we suffer from blindness. And the blindness is we cannot see that we're one with the Lord God. So even though we're told, well, you're created in God's image, we pretend either that isn't true or we don't understand it. Or we think, God, I'm so handsome, I look exactly like God. You know? Or I'm so beautiful, this is how God must look. Well, no. God's the Holy Spirit, the Great Spirit. He's made of the Holy Spirit. Or another way of saying Holy Spirit is the sound current. So he's made of the sound current. Okay, you see, and Jesus the Christ manifested that. He manifested the sound current. You see me, you see my Father. That's what he meant. Okay? And God, in his kindness and his mercy, he always sends at least one soul in a body, puts him in a body or extends himself, so that souls who wish to come to know the Lord God and wish to return to the unity of the Holy Spirit can do so, because the soul that's in the world of form needs something in the world of form to relate to. Okay? But because the mind is so fearful of this overshadowing, it pretends that this is not the case, because that would mean that, hey, there is this unity, or that God cares about his creation. Matter of fact, God is his creation. And not only that, but God is dependent upon us to know himself. It's like we're cells in his great body. And as each one becomes a light, each soul becomes lit with its knowing that its spirit, God has one more cell in his body that knows that. Okay, so our task is to keep that focus. I'm not saying you're not supposed to be afraid. If you weren't, I would think you're nuts. I would think you were really, really crazy. And most likely I would refuse to initiate you. You're just too stark, raving crazy. Okay, but we know that the journey of the soul is from fear to love. That's the journey of the soul. Okay, and we also know, like the ad tells us, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Okay, but that only applies to the proper use of the mind. What's the proper use of the mind? To bring forth and to be filled with the Spirit, and then to bring it forth into this world. The mind of God, or the mind of Christ. Okay, it's not the mind that humanity is so used to that creates all sorts of problems that don't really exist and then attempts to solve them. That's what the mind does, and it's very busy doing that. And it can create thousands of problems a day. How many problems do you create for yourself each day? How many problems do you create for yourself each day? So you're good at it, okay? And to be in the flow of spirit and be in the oneness of spirit, there are no problems. And the lower self, the basic selves, are habitual. And so just to be comfortable and just to be used to the same old, we go with these problems and we create more and more and more and more. Okay? And as soon as lifting happens, oh my God, what's going to take its place? And we don't allow the process. Okay? See, and then when you go and you go into a whole bunch of questions that have to be answered, you're not sitting there and in an honest way saying, you know, I'm aborting the process, and what I'm doing is I'm going to stop at the mental realm. Because these questions are out of mental karma. Okay, so fill me to the mental karma. Which, of course, it's beautiful. That's what the mind wants. Okay? Because it doesn't want to acknowledge anything beyond itself. Then it won't be in control. Well, the mind is the servant of God. Okay, and there's a wonderful line from the Unknown Poet that reads, "Genius is the absence of thinking in the presence of thought." In other words, genius really is letting go of the mind and just being present with God. See, and that's how we operate, okay? So I thought we'd conclude by doing a little process. Okay, and so let's call in the light. Lord God, send us your light and put this time together into your light for the highest good. Okay, and now it's been here because it's a satsang and it's the nature of the beast that comes with this consciousness, but we'll introduce this force field. Okay, now the soul starts to lift and just allow it and see where you get scared. See what you do when the fear comes upon you. And see what you're willing to permit. Okay, now when you have that, just raise your hand, but stay quiet. Now, when you can, just ride that force field again as it were. You can picture it as a magic cooperative spirit, whatever. Okay? With the determination to just keep focusing on the spirit and permitting yourself to ride the magic carpet, regardless of any of the emotional stuff, the mental stuff, the imagination, or even stuff you don't know where it's coming from. And just keep writing that. Okay, now bring your consciousness back here. Okay, and I lovingly suggest that, yeah, there's going to be fear. As I said, you'd be crazy not to have it. Okay? But permit and allow the overshadowing. Keep strengthening the part in you that wants to flinch. Keep strengthening the part of you that's afraid. And keep directing your focus into the spirit you are. Because if you don't permit the overshadowing, you're going to pay a very big price for that fear. So take the easy way, take the cheap way, but take the loving way, and take the way of the Spirit, take the way of God, and permit it. It is the way of the Christ to allow the overshadowing. Your consciousness and God's consciousness become one and the same. Okay, and if you've been blessed to receive initiation, you have had that door open to you, and you have the spiritual practice that you need to do as the strengthener. Okay, and I know all of you have the basic selves with you doing their job, and they do it very well, bringing forth the karma, keeping you in habitual patterns and reincarnational patterns, okay? But they serve as a strengthener if you use it to use them and use it and what they bring forth to focus into the Lord God. Okay, and sometimes it's very good to be out of your mind. It's the Lord God that has dominion, and the soul in you that has dominion over all things. Okay. Not the mind. We're at a place in our evolution where, yeah, we do think that that's the king, that that's the boss, and we worship all the products that of the mind. Technology, etc., computers, this, that, certain kind of smarts, this, that, and whatever. And those are all things of the mind. And all the schools and the best universities, they're all about developing your mind. Okay? Well, but God, in His kindness and His mercy, He can get into any school, but He's smart enough to provide a school for us where we learn that we are spirit, where we are soul. And that's the soul, the university of the soul. And there's a way to access that through the initiatory process. Okay? So if the mind were in charge, God wouldn't have given us the soul. But God's given us the soul. And sometimes, if not most of the time, our mind and everything else hooked up with it cast a giant shadow on the spirit that we are. Okay, and I'm here to tell you that the light is with you, and the light is 100%. And when there's 100% light, there's no shadow. And all you have to do is go with that and permit that. And the power is truly into surrendering into that. Okay? And it really is that simple. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. Okay? And you're charged with that responsibility to fulfill that. Okay, we'll stop now, and I'll come back in a few minutes and take a few questions.